Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening to our podcast. I thought I would like spice it up a little bit.
You want to spice it up today?
Just a touch.
Feel free to spice it up today.
Hello. Anyway, Tiffany and
very
I.
Very Mrs. Doubtfire, right?
I know. Tiffany and I give our all to this podcast, as you can see, with curating information, researching platforms, and creating a show with the best up to date information that we can. We have a vested interest in the growth and health of your business and hope you feel the same way about us. Would you like to produce a show? Yeah, you would. All you have to do is email us at thebusinessbehindsmallbusiness@gmail.com to express your interest, and we will share with you all of the marketing opportunities you will get in exchange. Please support us so that we can continue supporting you. And with that, please welcome to our show, The Business Behind Small Business. Whether you're staying or selling, we're here to remind you that just because you own a business does not mean you are a business owner. Hate to break it to you. We are your hosts, Savannah Stone and
Tiffany Kao,
sharing the more finite details of entrepreneurship, revealing the dots between startup and success. No one gets to a million without getting their knees dirty. There's a lot of business behind small business, so let's get to it. I think that's going to be my thing now. Let's get to it. Like Dora the Explorer. Let's go. You got to be watching this to know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of,
That's enticement for you to watch our video.
Okay. So this is an episode that, this is an episode from our first season in 2021 that we thought we needed to revisit.
Update.
Yeah. We need to update it. So when we first aired this episode, the world really was a different place. It's incredible how much things changed between 2019 and 22, and then 22 to 24. Feelings about employment, feelings about the culture within a company, and the way people view work and in general has all changed, even from just 2 years ago. So since at that time, we shared tips and advice and discussed pain points. Much of what we discussed had to do with the environment at that time. So we thought it would be good for us to revisit this episode and update our tips, advice, and experience to hopefully help you hire right the first time, every time.
And match it to 2024.
Yes. But before we begin, please note our disclaimer. This is available in both our show notes and on our website and should be referred to before and or after this podcast.
All right. Let's talk about hiring. Well, you know, I think about like 2020, was it 2021 when we did the episode?
Yes.
Like I think about it and it was just such a different like environment. Like were we still on lockdown or was
yes.
it?
Yes, we were.
Yeah, we were on lockdown. Everybody was working remotely. Everybody was freaking out. Like yeah. Employers were freaking out about their employees working remotely. Employees were like, well, I know parents were up to their eyeballs with like their kids learning remote learning from at home and they're trying to keep up with their jobs and then there was unbelievable amount of Zoom calls. Oh my gosh. Oh.
When I was looking at the script, I saw so much about masks in there that I was like, yeah, I feel like it was all a blur, but I think the world didn't completely open up until 22. Like in my
not
brain.
Not really for everyone, like the masses, I feel like. There were, you know, early adopters of it, of course, but I think 22... Maybe I think some people would even say it wasn't until the beginning of 23 till everything was back to normal per se. Because then we had that wave of COVID like at the end of 22. Anyway, so it's kind of interesting to see it all kind of time capsuled in like one episode because that was so like live at that time. And then now here we are in 2024 where things are normal-ish.
Yeah.
But it certainly just has changed.
Yeah.
From then.
Yeah. Yeah. Because people's minds have totally changed. I feel like people felt one way when they were stuck in their homes and then they were like uncaged animals doing everything. Everyone was like, let's party every day or whatever mindset you
after
had.
After the release.
Yeah. So that was a different mindset. Yeah. And then there was the, please don't ask me to go out. Please don't ask me to come in. Please don't. People are like, I just want to stay at my home. You know, that mindset. So it's really interesting how much we've changed.
I was more of, please, not another Zoom call. Can we just meet in person? Because this is ridiculous.
And I'm the opposite. Yeah. I'm like, please, let's not meet in person. I do not want to get up. I don't want to get up.
Yeah, some people got really comfortable and used to being at home. But I think the one thing I think that came out of COVID, at least with my observation, and I don't know how scientific this is or anything like that, but I think people, you know, really took a hard look about what's important in their lives, yes. right? What, once you don't have the freedom to go out, once you don't have the freedom to not wear a mask, once you don't have the freedom to go into work, you know, all these things, like it made everybody reflect as to how important their time is and how it's being spent. And I think because of that, then we had the great resignation and then quiet quitting and all these lovely trends of quiet firing and whatever, quiet promotions. I'm sure there's something in there about that too. There was a lot of all of that. And I think what still came out was, I think people still really started, you know, really taking to heart what they want to do with their lives.
Yeah. And they valued their happiness much more now.
Yeah. They started really reflecting on what is the work I'm doing, because I'm spending so much time at work. Mm-hmm. This is how I'm living my life. And is this how I want to continue living my life? Mm-hmm. Right. So, personally, I don't think that's a bad thing, mm-hmm. but I do think that in 21 and 22 and even in 23, there was a lot of knee jerk reaction, mm-hmm. which is why we had so many of these great waves of things. But now that we're kind of getting back to a little bit more stability, I think that change is not going away anytime soon. I think people are really looking really closely at the job they're accepting and whether or not that job is worth their time of their life to commit to, mm-hmm. right?
And if it's a job that they're not too happy with, they are finding some other ways for happy. Well, we're going to talk about all of that.
Yeah. And so retention really starts at the beginning. When you start to hire, that's where retention begins. Because once you start interviewing, once you start recruiting and you interview, your employees or your future employees are starting to get a first impression of you and your business. So that's where it all starts, mm-hmm. is with that. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about things you want to get together before you start hiring. I think you'll talk more about the hiring and retention part, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the heart of what we're talking about today. So I see this very often, even with people who have been in business for a long time. If you're not aware of how it works when you source and recruit, you oftentimes think that to hire somebody, that's all you do. You just put an ad out. Somebody responds to the ad, they come in interview, and you're like, this is how much I'm going to pay you. And they're like, all right, cool. And then that's it. Yeah, that is not how good hiring is supposed to happen and should happen. And really, that's not how these companies are, like these big successful companies are doing it. Right. They're just not telling you, tiny little business owner, that that's what's needed, right? And so we're going to actually unveil that a bit for you to, again, not scare you out of hiring somebody, but for you to be prepared so you can be successful in hiring.
Right.
Okay. So I broke it down to five main core things that mm-hmm. you want to keep in mind. One is comp, of course, mm-hmm. pay structure and pay benefit package, because that's all part of compensation. Mm-hmm. Two is handbooks and policies. So your employee handbook and what your company policies are. This is important because you're basically telling your employees or sharing with them what are the rules of the game when they're working for you. Mm-hmm. Three is onboarding. So how are you going to set them up for success once you hire them? And we'll go into why you want to think about it now before you start hiring versus panicking after they say yes, maybe.
Right.
Or just not doing anything, which is what a lot of owners do, is they just do nothing. And they're like, what do you mean? You're a grown adult. You can go figure it out. Nah. Fourth is culture. So what environment will they be working in, and how do they fit in to contribute to your culture? And then five is performance evaluation process. How would they be evaluated, meaning what is expected of them, and what is the path of progression in their career in your company? Sounds heavy.
Yeah. It's really not that. It's really not.
It's all very doable. It's a one-time setup. Once you have it for most of these things, like you can hire the second, third, fourth, tenth, whatever. It's that first one where people go in completely unaware. Mm-hmm. Then they never do any of this, even at the fifth employee and tenth employee. And they're wondering why they're putting out fires all the time.
Right.
Right. So I'm going to go into how do you actually get these things together? Well, actually, I'm going to go into why you need to get this stuff done before mm-hmm. you hire, right? Because here's the thing. People are really smart these days. If you hire people, they can sense that you don't have your shit together.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's the truth.
And if you hire people and, like I said, you don't have these things already together, eventually retention, which is what the key of today's, you know, talk is going to be a problem.
Right.
You're just not going to be able to retain people in the long run. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember that your job offer, your job position, this job your these employees are taking on, it affects their livelihood. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to be able to, well, to be quite honest, you want people not just to say yes to anything you offer them, mm-hmm. because that's a red flag right mm-hmm. there, but you want people to be really thoughtful when they're in these interview process. You want them to choose to accept your job offer because then they'll stick with you longer throughout.
It's weird to say it this way, but it's kind of like dating.
Uh-oh.
It is, but it is kind of like dating. Like, you guys are both kind of sussing each other out.
Yes, you want to make really sure are. You're kind of like eyeing each other out at the interview going, are you really my match? Do I want to stick with you for a long time?
Yeah, because when you look at it, like, successful dating, successful marriages have a lot to do with the kind of with healthy partnership. In a lot of ways, you're an employee-employer is also based on trust and partnership.
Yeah.
How good you guys can work together.
Yeah. Exactly. And while you're interviewing them, like you said, they're interviewing you. Mm-hmm. And you want people like that. Because again, if somebody just says yes to everything, there's a level of despotism there that you should feel like it's a little not a great idea, right? So what happens is they'll start asking you really intelligent questions about your culture, about the job, about the expectations. And if you don't have any of that ready, you may miss out on a really good hire.
Yeah.
This is why you want it to be ready before you start recruiting, so you actually have answers to those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay, so now we're going to go over how do you get those five things together. So this is the part you want to pay attention to, because this is how you're going to solve that problem, right? Yep. So compensation and pay. You don't have to guess, guys. Mm-hmm. And don't go out there and just ask the next five people what do they think pay should be, right? There's actual statistics and pollings and surveys that are done. There are data that are aggregated for you to see what is the pay for the position in the industry, in your location. Mm-hmm. There is no guessing that needs to be done.
Right.
So tools like ZipRecruiter, Indeed, Glassdoor, Salary.com, all these, you may have to pay a little bit something, but that's okay. I mean, just think about the information you get.
Right. It's kind of worth it.
Yeah. All these will tell you kind of what is the normal pay out there for what experience mm-hmm. for what this position is. And if you can't find exactly what you need, hire a recruiting company or HR specialist. They have access to special mm-hmm. tools that can tell you exactly that, what other people are being paid.
Yeah.
So you can then decide what do you want your pay to be now that you know what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really powerful. And to be clear, compensation doesn't mean just like salary pay. Mm-hmm. It also means benefits. It also means just
what
like,
other perks you may
whatever
have.
Perks you have, right? So just you want to think about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is handbook or policies. Okay, first of all, yes, there are templates online.
Mm-hmm.
Now, handbooks and policies aren't just about letting the employees know the rules of the game. It's actually more than that. It's about compliance mm-hmm. with labor laws and also about protecting you as the employer. So there's a lot more into a handbook than just pulling a template off online and be like, oh, I'm going to fill in the blanks and this is what I'm going to get my employees to sign.
Right.
So if you're going to modify it, at least have an expert look over it. So mm-hmm. some kind of HR specialist, somebody to look over to make sure you have everything as you need in there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not a friend, then hire somebody. It's totally worth it. And if you're planning on running payroll, because you're going to need a company to run payroll, please do not DIY yourself.
No.
Okay. And I'm not 100%, and tax accounts can cancel me. I'm not 100% subscribing to the fact that tax accounts can run it for you either.
No.
Right. So I prefer like a platform like ADP, Paychex, Gusto, any one of those, your local, regional, QuickBooks, Paylocity, whatever, mm-hmm. right? Have a payroll company do the payroll for you. And most of the times they'll have somebody that is an HR specialist that will specifically just put together your handbook for mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. as part of the, you know,
payroll package.
Mm-hmm. And that is just as good too.
And oftentimes they will also automatically pay your taxes as well.
Yeah. Well, that's
if
why you
set
want
it up that way.
That's why you want a payroll company. Yeah. That's why you want a full service payroll company.
Yeah. They can set it up for you.
A mess with taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not payroll tax.
No, go.
They may take a while to come back to you about your income tax, but payroll tax is fast and it is relentless. Mm-hmm. You will get lots of mail and collection calls once you miss that and penalties mm-hmm. and fees. So mm-hmm. do not mess with payroll taxes.
Yep.
All right. The third thing is onboarding process. So how do you get together your onboarding process? Now, this is probably more on you as the owner than anything else, especially if you're a small business, because only you know kind of what does the employee need to know in order to be successful in the position that you've created for them, mm-hmm. and what you want them to do. And then after you decide on that, then you need to decide on the best method of delivery. Is that video? Is that PowerPoint? Is that classroom? Is it one-on-one?
Is it a combination
of all those things? Yeah, you got to decide what's the best, most effective method of communication with that. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no surefire way. There's no template in anybody's onboarding process. every company is literally different in mm-hmm. how you onboard. And you need a different onboarding process depending on probably the level that you're hiring for too. Yeah.
Or department, if you have different departments. Exactly. Or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
So this is where I feel like if you get an HR consultant, they're incredibly valuable mm-hmm. for you here, because they can really help shape you, the onboarding process. And this is really a, you know, once you get a position and you get largely done, you tweak it a little bit for everybody that comes in, but then you're done, right? That's the same onboarding process you want to repeat with every one of mm-hmm. your employees, because you want them to all have the same messaging.
Right.
So that I would say that if you're not sure how you want to do it, then I would hire somebody to help you kind of figure that one out. Mm-hmm. Culture. This one is tricky. Oh, this one is so hard. So the question is, what is the culture you want to build in your business? Mm-hmm. Now, what's the environment you want your employees to work in and you want them to actually represent?
Yep.
This is incredibly tricky, because here's the gist of it. If you're not clear and you're not intentional about it, it gets created without you.
Mm-hmm.
With or without you. It's just going to happen. And that's where we run into a lot of businesses, I feel like, where they have a toxic culture. It's usually because, I mean, not that the tone from the top doesn't matter. They're probably the ones creating it as well. But oftentimes it's because somebody isn't intentionally trying to create this culture, and the employees have just gone amok and tried to create it themselves, which is probably not something that you were looking forward to and not something that you wanted. So culture is definitely a little tricky to get right. Now, the interesting part is that even if you're by yourself and you're a one-person team, you still have a culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your personality.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically what culture is. It's a personality that has been amplified. Yeah. Your personality yeah. amplified.
Unless you intentionally create a culture that is solely for your business, mm-hmm. and then your business has a personality, which is then amplified into your culture. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets hard. People don't understand that, because if you don't do that, then it's just your personality amplified.
That's right.
Yeah. So your culture is created the minute you decide to go into business. So either you wake up to the fact of what your current culture is and then decide what you want to do about it, or like we said, it's going to end up creating themselves and it may not end up what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is one of those things, is that if you're not good at this, you've never done it before, hire somebody to do it with you, because you don't want to mess around with this, nor do you want to ignore it.
Right.
Especially once you hire.
HR is the theme here.
Yeah, that's true. All right. And the last but not least is performance evaluation. So why this is so key is this is really the alignment of expectation that is the key to your employee success. So you being clear on what you expect from them helps them know where they're supposed to put their efforts.
Right.
Right. And then being transparent on how their performance will be evaluated will actually guide them on where to put their focus on. This is incredibly important. And as an employer, I think you owe it to your employee to get this part right. And this is the part that most people do not do.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't do it. They're just kind of like, oh, just start working. And then I will tell you how I feel. Maybe. I mean, would you want to work in an environment like that? Probably not.
No.
Sounds a little bit, you know, a little shifty there.
Mm-hmm.
And then also not only what you expect from them, but also communicate what they're going to be evaluated on, as well as when and how they're going to be evaluated. So again, not whenever I feel like it, but maybe every quarter or every year you have an actual formal sit down. I am a big believer of constant feedback, right? So mm-hmm. nobody should be shocked and surprised when you're not happy with their performance or they're not doing what they should be doing, because you decide to save up all your feedback until mm-hmm. the end of the year. That is not how it's supposed to work. But it is good to have actual formal sit-downs and check-ins along the way so you can formally present the evaluation. You could talk about performance so it becomes a conversation. Now, again, this is kind of hard. It is a soft skill that you have to train at. I know my HR consult and kick my butt to make sure that I understood how this works. But, you know, if you're not willing to train in it, or you're just not that type of person, mm-hmm. then again, this is where an HR consultant is great. They can come in and they can facilitate these performance evaluations for you, as well as set up the structure for you. Mm-hmm. And this is something you really want to tell the employees you want to hire. And it also makes them feel like you know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Makes them feel a little safer to say yes
right.
to your job offer.
Yep.
So let's round out the five things that we just discussed, and then we're going to kick it over to Savannah to actually talk about the hiring and the retention of your mm-hmm. employees. So it's compensation, which includes compensation and pay. It's your handbook and company policies. It's onboarding process. Fourth thing is culture. And last but not least is performance evaluation process.
Right.
All right. Over to you.
All right. So I'm going to talk a little more about the details of hiring, and then some ideas on how to retain your employees and how to make them feel how they can feel your culture. Especially, it's really hard when you have a bigger business, or if you have a business where people are working in different places, or if they travel a lot, or if you're remote. It's really difficult to create a culture in that manner when people aren't all in the same place. So I know we're talking a lot about culture, but culture really is at the core of retainment.
Yeah.
Your people need to feel good about where they work, whether or not they are working right next to you. So when you do the hiring, and I'm gonna share what it is that I do yeah. when I hire. So one of the things that we do when we hire is we have a 3-month startup. You start off as a junior, if you will. You shadow someone else, or someone else shadows you, with the trust that you know what you're doing, you know what you're doing. But also, within those first, you know this when you are being interviewed. You know that there's going to be a three-month ramp up. You know that there's going to be a lot of training in the beginning. Mm-hmm. These are all things that we talk about during the interview process, because as she mentioned, not only are you interviewing them, they are also interviewing you. They want to know that, is this something that I want to do? Is this going to be worth my time? So during the interview process, we do ask them, is this something that you think you'll be okay with? Look, we do background checks. We do mm-hmm. proficiency tests. Yeah. We do all of these things. These are all questions we ask in the pre-screen. Mm-hmm. Are these things that you are willing to do?
Yeah.
And if they say no, then all right, that's fine.
On to the
next
one.
Not a problem. No. If you need a job like right now, that would be a reason to say no. Mm-hmm. Or if whatever, for whatever
yeah,
reason.
There's a whole bunch of things. It's
and
okay.
That's why we get it out in the first pre-screen phone call. And if you say, no, I don't have a problem with that, then we move on to the next interview, which is a face-to-face, or most more so we do Google Meet. So that's what my face-to-face is really. And then we start to ask a little bit more about you know, a little bit more about their skills and their expertise, mm-hmm. you know, like a regular, I have questions that are for the pre-screen. I have preset questions for the interview. Also have preset questions for the different positions. So, excuse me. So you want to make sure that you have preset questions and aren't just asking questions off the cuff. You will forget things. And the reason why I say that is I know a lot of people do not have preset questions.
Well, you also want preset questions because you want to be consistent in the questions you ask each
right.
of the candidates. Otherwise, you can't do an apples to apples match.
Exactly.
You're asking different questions to different people.
And yeah. and when I say you, I don't mean you. I mean
could be somebody
your,
else. Yeah.
I mean your hiring team.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know that you yourself should be the one hiring, doing the hiring. Perhaps you as the owner should be involved in the last interview, certainly not in the pre-screen or in the first interview.
It does take a lot of time too. So mm-hmm. it's really no need for you to do it on your own, mm-hmm. especially if you've hired a company to do it for you. But it's a matter of preference.
Right. Yeah. But I also kind of feel like you do set a tone when mm-hmm. with the interview process. So if yeah. you are the owner and you are doing the interviews, this is going to... And hey, if you are a really small business, then that's what you are. But it might signal to the person that they're going to be working for a very small company that yeah. might not have all the answers for them.
Yeah. And then the other thing is just make sure you understand what you're putting out there, like you said, right? Now, if you're looking for somebody who likes working with small business, you want somebody scrappy, you want them to know that this mm-hmm. is going to be a, you know, a small but mighty team, then okay, go ahead and do the interview yourself. Just know mm-hmm. what you're putting out there, because...
Right.
it is like dating. They're getting to know you as you're getting to know them. Mm-hmm. So everything is everything is an impression. Mm-hmm. So be aware of what kind of impression you're putting out there. Mm-hmm.
And as a business owner, it's okay to not know all of the answers, but you should know the answers of how your company is run. So if someone is asking you a question about, well, what do you do in this situation, or what would I do in this situation, you should know the answer to that. So if your company has experienced a surge in employment or a surge in business and your processes haven't been able to keep up, I highly suggest that you either pause your search, or if you haven't started your search yet, then update your processes to ensure that your processes are ready to go for the person that you are hiring. And you're hiring. And when I say processes, I don't just mean the processes of your company. I mean your hiring processes as well. Mm-hmm. So it's important that the message in your core, your vision, is articulated the same by your hiring team, yeah, by your HR, and by you. You all say, everybody has to say the same thing. When a candidate is interviewing with you, as we say, and we keep saying, they're measuring you just as much as you are measuring them. So when they ask a question about processes or about culture in your company, the message or answer should be the same, regardless of who's conducting the interview. Okay, so speaking of which, for your hiring team, it's important that everyone goes through the same hiring process that goes for the candidate you got off of Indeed and your neighbor's son who just graduated college. I know a lot of businesses who say, oh, I know him, I'll just hire him in. No. If you have a multi-step hiring process, everyone should go through that multi-step hiring process. So a multi-step hiring process should have, if not all of these, then most of these, which is the pre-screen, the first interview, a second interview, potential third interview, proficiency tests, according to whatever department or whatever field it is that they're going to be, whatever role it is they're going to have. There should be a background check. There should be references. I like to do 3 references. I also, when we hire on, we also send them a questionnaire to get a better sense of who they are as a person, so that I can better match them with a client. I try to set them up for success. This is something that teachers talk about all the time. This is something I've heard from my kids as teachers a lot. I'm setting you up for success. Well, that's what you should be doing with your employees as well, all of your candidates. So everyone should be hired in the same way. And also, if they're not hired the same way, you cannot measure the quality of the hire. That's either. Right. So, you know, just keep it the same for everyone. Of course, you want to have someone appropriately skilled for the position, but, you know, that's not all you're doing. You have created a culture in your company, yes. But whether you did that intentionally or not, if you like what you've got, you have to hire a person that's going to match your culture. So resume, this person looks amazing, but you interview with them and you get the sense, trust your gut, because you may end up hiring someone who is ridiculously experienced, but does not match the culture of your mm-hmm. company. And not only will that hurt the retention of that person that you just hired, it may affect the retention of other people that person works with. Because if they're the kind of person who enjoys gossiping or enjoys bad mouthing, they're not going to have a problem doing it with the person who is sitting right next to them. That's so right. This is not about just the retention of the one person that you hired. This is about the retention of all the people that are working in your company. So speaking of candidates, don't think that only the candidates that you reach out to are the ones that are interested. Know that some people are passive. They might have passive personalities. And some people believe that the hiring person should reach out to them. So there are no hard and fast rules in that. Take a look at all of the applications and reach out to the ones that really speak to you. I don't mean like physically or literally. I mean the ones that you feel really good about.
The only thing I would say is to add to that is just you got to follow up.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like these, I mean, they're interviewing elsewhere too. So if you find somebody good, don't sit on it for a week. Just at least follow up and touch in to let them know that you're still interested and you're still going through your evaluation process. That way they can consider that mm-hmm. because maybe if they really hit it off with you and they really want a job with you, but they're getting offers from somewhere else because they've gone through interview processes before you may lose out on them because they felt like you ghosted them because you never reached back out to them right. and never followed up.
Or maybe they're holding out on you and they just lost the opportunity to get a better job from someone else when you called them finally and said, sorry, we pass on you.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
Just be respectful. Mm-hmm. It goes both ways.
Lastly, you want to build a team that's going to last. So don't discount who you already have. If you have an employee that could shift to a new position, if they have certain skills, consider hiring internally as well. Or maybe you can split responsibilities between persons to act on their strengths. Flexibility in the workplace is more important now than it has ever been. People are so stressed out now that with nearly every living cost having almost doubled. So do what you can to make them feel like they can have one solid foot in the world you've created and one solid foot in the world that they want to live in. So before we move on to the raw truth, we want you to be a part of our conversation and let us know what you want to hear. Send us questions or comments to our email, thebusinessbehindsmallbusiness@gmail.com, to ask questions related to our show, or just let us know how much you love us. We want to hear that too. We want to give you what you want to learn about. So, raw truth. As I said, during my interviewing process, I know that, well, since we last aired this episode in 2021, I personally changed everything about my hiring process.
How? Because the environment changed?
Totally. But before I get into it, I don't want to speak over you. So why don't you?
No, the only raw truth I would say is that, you know, when I was hiring, you know, I had all the things ready, right? Like, especially like what we said, right? I had all the things ready. And after a while, it just became easier because you're just hiring more. And like, you just get in a role. You understand how this stuff works. But so I will tell you probably what other people will tell you too, that has done a lot of hiring, even probably more so than me, will say that you're still going to get a bad dud.
Okay.
Every once in a while. Yeah, you still will. Somebody that'll make it through like flying colors through the interview process. And then when they, you know, when the, you know, rubber meets the road and they actually have to perform because you've hired them, they crap out.
Yeah.
You still will. So it's like, and that's not a reflection on you. The idea of having all this ready is really to make sure you have the best opportunity to find a good hire. Doesn't always mean it's going to shield you from the bad one, because somebody's going to slip through and, you know, personality tests and all that, like they'll still figure out a way through. So, I've certainly had that experience too, where one of my employees, you know, went through the interview. I did all the reference checks, did all of the things. Everybody gave him glowing reviews, did wonderful for about a year or so, and then crapped out. Right. And then you're just like, well, can't see that coming. So just know that's just something that can happen.
I feel like you should forgive yourself, because oftentimes you're going to think that, oh man, what could I have done differently? What did I do? But don't blame yourself.
And just know people will turn over too. I mean, even some of my happiest employees that were really happy with their job had a life change. They had to move out of state or they had to move out of country, and things change. And unfortunately, you're sad to see them go. They're sad to go. But you know, don't take that as a, you didn't do a good enough job. It just is. People's lives change.
So I'm just going to go through my hiring process again, and then some of the things that I do for retention. So one of the things, or rather, we do the pre-screen, get it out of the way of what it is you're going to be going through in order to work for us. And if you're cool with the whole rigmarole, then awesome. Let's move on to the first interview. During the first interview, we ask a lot more technical questions based on the job itself. Second interview is usually done with me on it. We don't generally get to a third interview unless we really can't decide between two candidates. Usually I talk to them about what the job itself is going to, what it pertains to, what you're going to be doing. And hey, are you okay with this? Are you okay with this? This is a lot of what I say. Are you cool with that? Are you okay with the taking on that kind of, you know, because I want to make sure that you're going to be comfortable and you're going to be happy. Because before I started hiring people, I obviously was the only person working for my company, and I wanted to make sure that I created a company that fit my life. And then when I was in a place where I could start hiring people, I kept that very close to my heart, that I want to make sure I create an environment that fits a person's want just as much as it fit mine, just as much as my company fit what I wanted. So we do have a video that we send out when you get hired that gives you, that outlines the onboarding process. You know from the very first day exactly all of the things that it's going to take before you start working with a client. Then we do, we send that out to you. We go over the company manual or the company handbook. We go over the training manual together. I ask you if you have any questions about any of it. I don't go through it line by line, but do you have any questions about it? And then our operations manager reviews with you for a week, basically holding your hand. Then the second video call that we do, you meet your mentor. I feel like a mentorship program has been vital to retention because then they can ask that person questions that they maybe don't feel comfortable asking me. And then that person is also doing the exact same thing they are doing. So then again, they can say, how do you guys do this? How do you guys do that? And I think that that's really awesome. Hmm. And for 3 months, you are basically in a contract mode. Like, are you going to like this? And after 3 months, we do an evaluation. How did you enjoy working for us? And then how did we enjoy you working for us? And then it's after that, that you become a true employee of our company. And that has proven amazing. It has been amazing so far. I mean, again, knock on wood, knock on all of the things. But now you are working in those 3 months, but you're working with someone shadowing you. And that's important because in my field, and I'm sure many of our listeners also have a secure field or somewhere where you just can't afford them to make a big mistake. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have somebody that's supervising them.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
Yeah. So that's what we do. And with that, we are going to take our break. And then after that, we will move on to our famous example.
Wouldn't it be great to hear the sound of us promoting your business for you right here on our show? Of course it would. You can have that and more by producing a show or multiple shows. All you have to do is email us at thebusinessbehindsmallbusiness@gmail.com to express your interest, and we will share with you what you will receive with your investment. You'll have the opportunity to have your name and the name of your business mentioned multiple times on our show, having your company logo on our social media, along with details on how to get in touch with you and other marketing opportunities as well. Please support us so that we can continue supporting you.
In each episode, we like to connect a famous example to our discussion to help you relate our talking points on a more global and well-recognized scale, revealing the dots between the living room startup and the success story on the cover of Forbes. Sometimes we use exact examples of either famous persons or successful business owners of today or in history, and sometimes we use examples of people who inspired us and have inspired today's discussion.
Yeah, my example today is Netflix, company culture. It's really widely known for innovation, freedom, responsibility, and it is encapsulated in something called a Netflix culture deck. Mm. It was actually published online by the CEO, Reed Hastings, and then later on it became a book called No Rules, Rules, Netflix and the Culture of Re-Innovation. So I thought that was pretty interesting, but like a few things about how they built its culture is actually kind of cool. There's quite a bit to it, so I'm just gonna pick a couple just because, you know, I don't want to go read the book, but like, you know, I don't want to like keep everybody online on here way too long.
Do you have a link that you can share in the show notes if people want to go through it? Maybe not.
Yes, for the book.
Ah,
haha. But now we can probably list the main points, right? So I'm just gonna go over like one or two of the seven that they have essentially. So they have something called a keeper test. It's a little more controversial, but what happens is managers regularly ask themselves if they would fight to keep an employee. And the answer is no. The company provides a severance package to the employee and shows them the door. And the aha idea is to ensure that only the most dedicated and high-performing individuals remain, fostering a culture of excellence.
I don't hate it.
I don't dislike it. Because sometimes it's, you know, like I said, you know, sometimes people start slipping over time and it's hard. If you want high performers want to be in an environment with other high performers. Like, yeah. Mm. All right, here's another one. It's called No Tolerance for Brilliant Jerks.
I love it.
The idea is like, no matter how talented somebody may be, if they cannot fit into the culture of teamwork and respect, they cannot stay at the company.
So that's basically what I was saying with the whole, you know, their resume may be sparkling, but
Yeah, watch out for the sparkling resumes and the lackluster personalities in interviews. Mm-hmm. That happens all the time, right? Because these days, especially with AI, I'm sure people are AIing their resumes all the time. It probably sounds spectacular, but then you meet them and you're like, oh. Okay. So the No Tolerance for Brilliant Jerks really is about interpersonal dynamics and positive working environments, which I would imagine for companies, tech companies, especially innovative companies like Netflix and whatnot, I'm sure they're an attraction for brilliant people. And we all know brilliant people they don't come with large egos, right?
No.
So I guess it means keep your ego at the door, right? Check your ego at the door, essentially, right? And then the last one that I wanted to share, which I thought was pretty cool, was evolution over time. So, of course, their culture is not static. It evolves. And they know that. And they actually push that. They continually refine their practice and policies to suit its growing size and changing dynamics as a company. They often take into account feedback from the employees and they take it seriously. And they make changes accordingly to make sure that culture remains the cornerstone of Netflix's success.
Very cool. Well, I wanted to see if there were options or other examples that I could use that were not the same as what I had used 3 years ago. I did find a great link which lists a ton of businesses that have a really different and entirely cool experience in their recruiting process. So that's going to get linked in the show notes. And the one that stood out to me the most was Amazon. So Amazon's hiring process has multiple steps, which includes online assessment tests, virtual interviews, and on-site tests. The final decision comes from the hiring committee, which consists of a panel of personnel that were a part of the evaluation process, the interviewers and the test conductors, for example. The interview questions reportedly vary in type and difficulty, and it makes the process challenging. Amazon's interview process is influenced by its leadership principles, including customer obsession. And candidates are given a test on those principles. The applicants for engineering roles are rigorous coding challenges, which include pre-interview tests and coding and design challenges. So that basically showed, do you cut the mustard or not? Booking.com really impressed me as well in how they attract the candidates. So Amazon's great in the interviewing process. Yeah. Booking.com is great in the attraction of the candidates. So according to Greenhouse.io, candidates can explore career options and watch videos introducing their prospective teammates, check out a day in the life at various offices, and even learn about how certain product decisions were made. So it's less about the saying and more about the seeing. Mm-hmm. So if you want to interview with booking.com, you can just watch a video and be like, oh, that looks like a place I'd like to work, or maybe not. There are blog posts, photos, videos, infographics, and working at Booking content available pretty much on any social media platform that you could think of. I think that's brilliant.
Very nice.
The site also addresses common candidate questions and concerns and provide tips on how to excel in the interview process. Like, hey, if you want to work for us, these are the kinds of things we want to hear.
Yeah.
There's even an option to create a job alert so a candidate who might not find the right role open right now can be notified when something relevant comes up. Who knew?
Very proactive.
I think it's really cool. Yeah. All right, so moving on, there's a saying that goes, put your money where your mouth is. And we're going to drill down a bit further to connect what we've discussed at a granular level to tangible sources you can take to get you to that next level.
Yeah, I definitely have a couple books to recommend. Mm-hmm. A lot of this is actually, of course, things you have to put in practice. Mm-hmm. But I think hearing from other people what they recommend is probably a great way to start. So first book I recommend is Who? A Method for Hiring. It's by Jeff Smart and Randy Street. And what they have is a systematic approach to hiring and focusing on the candidates that fit your company culture and actually can excel in their roles, right? Which sounds like it's spot on to what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
All right. The second book is called Work Rules, Insight from Inside Google That Will Transform How You Live and How You Lead. And we all know, like, Google is obviously a mammoth of a company, right? It does provide very valuable insights into hiring and management practices that can be adapted for much smaller businesses too, which is only why we're recommending that. Because, I mean, I don't know about you. I don't want or need to be a Google in my life ever. But, you know, I will take some nuggets from them if I can.
Girl, I make the punch. I serve the punch. I drink the punch. I am totally in. I'm 100% in.
All right. The last book I would recommend is Hiring for Aptitude, a revolutionary approach to recruiting and selecting people with both tremendous talents and superb attitude by Mark Murphy, which I just love the title. Way to go, Mark.
I know. Murphy. It's a lot of words.
Yes, it is.
I wonder what the book's about.
Yeah, gee. So it's about selecting and recruiting. No, I'm just kidding. it's really talking about the importance of attitude in potential hires, suggesting that skills may be able to be taught, but the right attitude is crucial for a good fit, which I wholeheartedly believe. I could teach anybody how to do something. I cannot fix your personality. Right. So that is on you. And I don't even need to fix it. Your personality just may not fit the culture I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not looking to change it.
There's a place for everybody. Yes. Might not be the one.
Might not be our place. So mm-hmm. That's fine.
So back in 21, I listed a link of recruitment tools, and I'm going to do that again. We're going to add that again to our show notes. However, since then, some great platforms have launched or I have become more aware of to find wonderful talent out there in whatever industry it is that you're hiring for. Granted, Indeed is still considered to be the number one platform for jobs. And of course, there's also LinkedIn. But if you're looking for specific types of jobs or candidates, you should also consider flexjobs.com, WeWork Remotely, mm-hmm. Remote.co, Upwork, and workingnomads.co.
Yeah.
So these will all be noted as well. You may also consider paid internships at your company with guaranteed jobs for graduates. You've spent the time and effort to train them, and you'll have someone eager to work together with you.
Very good.
All right.
What do you know?
All righty. All right. So please join us for our next episode where we will discuss dissecting success. How did those super rich get there? How did it happen? I mean, were they ever regular people? Some were, some were not. So what did they really do? Stay tuned.
Let's talk about it when they were small.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it when nobody knew who they were. All right, please show us your support by following us on your preferred podcast platform, social media, and on YouTube. We'd love for you to also share our episodes. All of our links are posted below. And until next time, mind the business behind your business, because all great successes start small. Bye-bye.
Bye.